This is Magic with an AboveTopSecret.com member podcast reply to Springer on the topic of bird flu and China. First off, thank you, China. Certainly, we can criticize the U.S. government and various state and, you know, the state and local governments in Louisiana for the disastrous aftermath of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. But let's take a look at this. You know, you want to talk about problems in government? Letting problems like this fester definitely qualifies as being monumental in terms of government incompetence to the point of criminality. And the irony of all this is that I am sure, you know, I'm reasonably sure that there isn't a desire on the part of the Chinese government to be responsible potentially for the death of a third of all mankind. At the same time, whether you intend to kill, 2 billion people or do so on accident, that kind of really doesn't matter. It's not one of those whoops, my bad kind of things, you know. 2 billion people dead. I mean, we'll see if that happens. I'm hoping it won't, but it could. Just like you pointed out, it's easy. It's easy to think that there's a way. Maybe we'll get out of it, and maybe we will. You know, human beings, we're pretty resourceful creatures. But at the same time, this kind of stuff can happen, and it can happen right here and right now in the modern world. And people have been following my my career as a prophet, and granted, let's just take all that with a grain of salt. You know, I think something big is coming in mid-December. It could be related to this. The thing is, I don't really know. I just remember middle December of 2005 as being important, something big, and people will look at it and go, wow. But I don't want to get too far off on that, and I really understand, people, hey, you don't want to, drink my Kool-Aid on that. Even I don't. It does kind of remind me, you mentioned this winter as the flu starts spreading. Maybe that's going to happen. Maybe that's what's going to go on here, and we'll just see, massive amounts of people dying. I got to tell you, some of my meditations, some of the things I see bodies stacked up like firewood, and it's just horrible. I mean, pictures you see from the Holocaust and, the concentration camps, the killing fields, it's like that. And wow, these are not pleasant thoughts. But let's kind of get back to this whole notion of thank you, China, and how this all comes about. Admittedly, my knowledge of the kinetics, if you will, of flus and how they come about is rather limited. It's I'm not a biologist or a microbiologist or expert on this kind of stuff. But my understanding is, and I think that's probably what's going on here, in East Asia, there are combinations. There's basically a situation in which human beings and animals such as pigs and birds are together in close quarters, and in particular with rice paddies, where humans are working in the rice paddies. There are pigs that also will hang around in the mud and stuff in the rice paddies, and then you have ducks, which can be domestic or wild ducks coming through. There's a lot of domestic ducks that are kept in East Asia, as sources of food and eggs and things like that. So when you have a situation now where you have birds and animals where they're together, there's probably not going to necessarily be a lot of transmission of disease between them. The physiology of birds and humans is pretty different. But the physiology of pigs and humans, a little closer. And what happens here is diseases might appear in say the ducks that will get transmitted to the pigs, and then through the pigs will get transmitted to the humans. And apparently it can be, and so you'll see things like bird flu, swine flu, and that's essentially, and again, I'm not an expert, I'm just saying this is my impression, what's going on here. That's how this stuff comes about. And it can go other ways. Maybe it'll originate in the pigs and then bounce to the ducks and then back to the pigs and into the humans. And so there's this there's this, you know, kind of a vicious circle of vectors for these various and sundry viruses that can come up, which is why we tend to see flu originating from East Asia. You know, it's possible for flus to come out of other parts of the world, and it's not always, from what I understand, necessarily a result of the combination of pigs, ducks, and humans. But the pigs-ducks-human combination is apparently a very prolific and fertile source of flu viruses. So, you know, of course, the first thing is, well, then why do they keep doing this? Well, they've been living like this for centuries. This is not, you know, something they just decided to do recently. So, you know, you're talking about billions, really. You know, there's a billion people in China alone, and then there's, you know, hundreds of millions of people in East Asia. So to expect that many people, especially when their livelihood, you know, there's people that have been, you know, that work rice paddies, they grow rice, and that's their source of income and their source of food, and they rely on pigs and they rely on ducks as food sources. So is it really reasonable to expect them, even in the face of something like this, it's, you know, to expect hundreds of millions of people to change their lifestyle like that? That's not easy. And the reason it hasn't happened so far is because it isn't. In the face of this, and, you know, so you look at the Chinese officials, yeah, you know, what's their trip sitting on this kind of thing? I think it just boils down to incompetence. And really, you know, this whole business of centralized government and Marxist philosophy, you know, there's some Marxist philosophies. There's some things that Marxism did that I think are just wonderful. But I got to tell you, people, just frankly, I consider Marxism a gross failure in terms of government. It just doesn't work right. This whole thing of central planning. Look at all the people who have been dying in North Korea. Look at all the people that died in Russia. Basically, look at every Marxist government that has ever been established, and just look at how the people in those countries, what happens to them. And I'll get to that later in the politics discussions. And it's kind of ironic, I mean, this debate with Oops, and I'm taking the liberal position, which actually is not necessarily the Marxist position, I'd like to point out, you know, because Stalinism is a form of Marxism. But let me get back on track here. I think that what we're seeing here in the case of this bird flu, and maybe this will be the one that takes out the 2 billion people, maybe it'll be something else, and maybe it won't happen quite on such a grand scale. Maybe we'll see tens of millions of people die in this pandemic, and maybe we won't even see a pandemic. Maybe someone will come through and save the day. But this is just like with the pigs, humans, and ducks triangle. Now let's add, you know, a government that oversees this kind of environment that is simply not competent to manage these kinds of problems. And that's what I see in China. And by the way, I'm actually rather encouraged. I think that China's moving forward. And, you know, in fairness to China and the people of China, they've had a rough time of it. Especially the last century, it's been difficult. And as much as I knock Marxism, the situation in China before the Mao Revolution was, you know, something had to be done. It was becoming untenable. So, you know, they're going through a lot of changes and a lot of difficulties. And, you know, for my fellow members out there in China, whether you're Chinese or an expat living in China or whatever, please don't get me wrong. When I'm knocking what's going on with the Chinese government, you probably, in fact, odds are probably pretty good. You understand what I'm talking about and probably agree. So, you know, my fellow members in China, you know, we know it's not your fault personally. But, you know, getting back to all this, what can we do about it? You know, certainly there are people that are in China that, you know, finally that are looking into this, and the news they're sending back isn't encouraging. Maybe they will be able to get the situation under control. Maybe we won't see millions and millions of people dying this winter because of flu. But maybe not. And so what if that happens? You know, first of all, that is a very frightening prospect. And I got to tell you, for all my wonderful spiritual insight and stuff like that, yeah, I find this kind of stuff very frightening. I don't want to die of the flu. And I don't want people in my family dying of the flu. I got kids. I got grandkids. Okay. I don't want to see any of them lost to something like this. So I can assure you, I have a very direct personal and emotional connection to what's going on here, the risks going on here, you know, friends and family, and no one in the world is safe from these kinds of things. So, you know, and by the way, whether it's this or not, I advise anyone listening to this, prepare yourself for the coming pandemics, because my friends, whether I'm a prophet or not, this is going to happen. I promise you, this is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. So what do you do? Especially, you know, you live in a big city that's got big airports and people are coming and going. And these are the kinds of places that tend to be ground zero for disease spreading. You know, of course, one thing, especially on ATS, you know, we're all conspiracy nuts. And here I am, a hermit that lives out in the desert, you know, so I'm kind of got a little bit of insulation there. And I already keep a lot of food on hand and stuff, but that's kind of what I'm thinking here. First of all, you got to go on with your life, you know, but if you see news that the epidemic's spreading, and unfortunately the news can often trail this spread by several days or even weeks, and by that time you might already have it and not yet have the symptoms. And then, of course, mass hysteria breaks out, and that can be as dangerous in many cases as the flu itself. But what do you do about this kind of thing? My advice, it's always a good idea. You know, people knock survivalists and stuff, and yeah, okay, these guys running around in Idaho in these camps with the AK-47s, you know, God bless them. I'm sure they're having fun with that. But you don't have to do that to take a reasonable survivalist approach. Stock up food. If you have medicines that you need, stock up on those too. Work it out with your doctor. See if you can get a little, you know, advanced supply. Lay in some supplies. It doesn't even have to be a lot, just something to get you by for a few weeks. So if there is a disease going through your town, you don't have to go into public places and expose yourself. And, you know, hey, simple little things like those cheap throwaway dust masks that you can use for painting, that's not the best protection in the world, but it's better than nothing. And that's, by the way, so let's say that there's a flu outbreak in your town. Well, what do you do? Here's what I would do. Not go outside, you know, take advantage of that food supply I have. Take time off. If there's a deadly flu going through town, I'll risk my job. If I got a job I got to go to, I'll risk my job, you know, rather than go out and get exposed to a potentially deadly disease. But that's a personal choice. And there's people out there like health workers, police, fire, public service people. You don't have a choice. I mean, you know, if you do and you decide not to go into work, I guess I can understand that. But the truth is, you know, there's people that don't have a choice. But if, in a case where a flu is going through town and you know it, one of the best things you can do if you don't have to be out there helping people is stay home and don't become a carrier yourself. And, you know, that's my own opinion, and people have different opinions about that. But, you know, one of the ways to combat communicable diseases is to not communicate. don't get out there and don't join the crowd, you know. Maybe you want to put off going to that football game if there's a lot of flu going out. Maybe you don't want to go to the store this week if you know there's flu going through, because public places that, and, you know, contact in these public places, that's how these kinds of things spread. But I don't want to convey a sense of alarmism. That's not going to solve anything. Certainly this kind of stuff can be scary, but getting all bent out of shape about it and becoming really afraid, especially when there isn't any evidence to indicate that there's an epidemic in progress, is a problem of its own. And especially if that, on a mass scale, that can cause all kinds of problems in itself. Let's say, for example, in my country, in the U.S., let's say, you know, tens of millions of people become scared about flu and do stay home and then don't go to work. And maybe some of these people have important jobs. Well, think about what that would do to the economy of the United States, you know. And now we've got economic problems, and that can cause all kinds of trouble. You know, people can die from economic problems. So, it's difficult to navigate through these times, but my recommendation to my fellow members is, you know, look out for yourself and get yourself stocked up, and certainly encourage members of your family to do the same. And hopefully they won't just think you're wearing tinfoil when you're just telling them to be ready. There is, you know, I think it is absurd for people to poo-poo the idea that you should be ready for disasters, because the entire history of the human race is one kind of disaster or another, you know, from natural disasters to man-made disasters. So how can anyone think it's smart not to be prepared for disasters? I just don't understand that kind of thinking. And frankly, my friends, I don't ever want to. Anyway, a little note before I sign out here from this long rant. Gaz, there's nothing wrong with prayer, and there's nothing wrong with asking God for help in cases like this. Because my friend, before the end, I think we'll need all the help we can get. But again, I'm an optimist. I think we've got some dark times ahead of us. I think it's going to be bad. And who knows, maybe this will be one of those cases. And I certainly understand Springer's frustration about this. But at the same time, even when it does get bad, my advice is don't let it get, you know, don't let the darkness overcome you. You know, you can try and take it with, you know, try and be strong, try and be brave. Remember the power of love and remember the power of fear. You know, when you let fear take you like that, it's a disease of its own. Anyway, without trying to get too preachy, and I've already talked too long about this, I just wanted to say, yeah, I'm really, really disappointed in the Chinese government on this. And I'm hoping this isn't going to turn into a case where we can look back on this as, yep, and that's where the great pandemic of 2005 started, right there. And that's why, you know, the world population is a little over half what it used to be just a year ago. I just imagine what that's going to be like. Anyway, this has been Magic at AboveTopSecret.com, weighing in and opining on the topic of bird flu and China. And wishing you all the best. Take care of yourself, and don't let fear take you, my friends.